Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. And we roll along here, hump day, halfway through the week, heading towards week 18 in the NFL, which, like I've said a bunch of times over the course of this week already, Chris, just to try and get myself used to it because it's strange and different and uncomfortable, like a new pair of underwear.
Yeah, it still doesn't sound right, like saying week 18, because we know the regular season is only supposed to be 17 weeks. But with the expanded regular season, it's just one of those things that we're going to have to get used to. But I don't know how long it's actually going to last, Gojo, because listening to Roger Goodell on the Manning cast on Monday Night Football, it sounds like they want to do away with another preseason game and potentially expand the regular season with another game at the end of it as well. So we could be talking about week 19 before all is said and done.
Yeah, I mean, this is like what we talk about with the college football playoff with expansion and all this. Some is great, more is better, because there's dollar signs attached to all of it. In a world where so much has changed, live sports remains the one real constant, and man, hit the force multiplier if it is live football, because people still cannot get enough of all that. So all of that, like you said, leads to a longer timeline here. It also leads to delaying, in some cases, what feels like the inevitable, Chris, because we know every year we end up with about six or seven new jobs in the NFL that are open for business at the head coaching spot. It gets to be this kind of part of the season every year where teams start looking around and trying to make that all-important decision of who am I going to put at the helm of this football team. And so we thought we would do the prudent thing here, because again, from like the human perspective, none of us like seeing people lose their jobs, right? You and I have both been around enough of this. I was at the college level seeing Charlie Weiss lose his job. Like, there are a lot of people that get affected by this. There are a lot of people whose lives and their families' lives are changed forever, both players and coaches, when this stuff happened. So in general, it sucks, Chris. Like, it's a terrible time of year in that regard.
No question about it, but we know it's a what have you done for me lately business, and there are teams that are ultra-competitive, and they're going to be looking at what happened this season, where things went left, and seeing whether or not the coach or the general manager or players are a part of the reasons why, and trying to get those things fixed. So it's the ugly side of the business of football, but it's something that happens every single year, Gojo, and so we got to talk about it.
We do, and so we thought we would try and do this in the most productive way possible, looking at a number of coaching situations and doing the tried and true business tactic of the SWOT analysis. For anyone that hasn't been introduced to this here, who didn't take some like intro to business class in college, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And analyzing where your favorite NFL head coaching job fits within the midst of all that, Chris. So let's take a look at, I think, some of the more intriguing ones from a league-wide sense here. I want to start with Las Vegas. Looking at the Vegas Raiders here, you've got Rick Bisaccia, who took over during the middle of this season after John Gruden was let go after the scandal surrounding his emails here. So if we're looking at Bisaccia, who's come in here now and has them on the cusp of a potential playoff bid this weekend, let's start with strengths. What do you see here?
Well, I see a coach and a team that was able to navigate some pretty adverse circumstances this year. I mean, you had the situation with John Gruden in very public fashion, him being ousted, but then you also had the tragedy involving Henry Ruggs in a DUI in Las Vegas, and then dealing with some of the players that were unavailable due to COVID or due to injury. It's just an amazing job that has been done by that franchise in terms of being able to hunker down and put themselves in a position where they can compete for a playoff spot. You've got a quarterback in place in Derek Carr that's proven a lot of people wrong in terms of the kind of upside that he has and the ability that he has to be a productive player in our league. And then you have to look at some of the draft capital that they have in future years. It just seems like this is an opportunity for, you know, a coach, whether it's Rich Bisaccia or somebody else that ends up getting a gig, to take over a franchise that's ready to compete at a high level. So I think they got a lot of things going for them. Now, if I'm talking about the weaknesses, the defense is absolutely a weakness. Although it didn't look like it against the Colts in week 17, that defense has been a problem. That's been an Achilles heel for this squad all season long. And they've invested a lot of draft picks on that side of the ball and seemingly still can't get it right. So that's what I would say the weakness in this job is. The other weakness that I could potentially see is your general manager spot, with Mike Mayock being the incumbent. I'm not necessarily sure that that's the guy you want buying the groceries when you look at his resume with the Las Vegas Raiders. So that would be what I would assess as the weaknesses, but I think it's a tremendous opportunity for Rich Bisaccia or whatever head coach takes over on a full-time capacity for the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, I think for Rich specifically here, the opportunity is you're not John Gruden. And as this franchise looks to take the next step in whatever this is, as Mark Davis searches for the next face of his franchise, there might be something to be said for not having the coach be that face. To have someone like Bisaccia who's going to exist a little bit more away from the headlines in all of this, and like you said, kept a tight grip on the steering wheel during some of the most tumultuous parts of this season, the threats are pretty similar. Simple. Jim Harbaugh. Like, once we heard that name pop up, knowing the relationship that Jim Harbaugh, the current Michigan head football coach, has with Mark Davis and the importance that Mark Davis places on that position here, I think that's going to certainly be the principal threat at all of this. Let's move out to the Pacific Northwest, Chris, because this one, to me, is fascinating and has a ton of ripple effects. Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks here. How do you view this job? Because this one is closely tied to the franchise quarterback of your team and what might happen with the future of that player.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, when we start talking about the SWATs, the threat is that Russell Wilson could be walking out of the door and you really don't have a whole lot to say about it, because if a quarterback doesn't want to be there, if Russell Wilson, not through his agent, not through any media outlet, but him himself comes out and says he no longer wants to be the quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks, then there's very little that Pete Carroll can do to curb that or change that. So that has to be the biggest threat. The strength right now, Gojo, I'm asking myself, what is the strength of this coach right now? Because it feels like he's lost a grip in terms of how he relates to his players and being able to get everybody on the same page and being able to set the agenda for the rest of the guys in the locker room. It doesn't seem like that's present. When you look at the weakness, it's one of the weaker rosters top to bottom in the National Football League. So that's also a big issue. So, and then the other thing that I would say that becomes a challenge for this job is not having a clear ownership group. Like, that, there's a little bit of a flux when it comes to who the boss in that franchise actually is beyond John Snyder and Pete Carroll. So it's just one of those things where there's a lot of layers to what's going on in Seattle, and I don't quite know if it's one of those situations that Pete Carroll is going to find himself in a good spot with.
No, I would say opportunity, though, here for Pete Carroll and what his paradigm of winning football has been for a long time. Defense and rushing the football here, we have seen that make a little bit of a comeback with the success the Patriots have had at different stretches of this season, the Indianapolis Colts choosing to win that way. So if you are the Seahawks, who maybe you think, all right, we're going to lose Russ regardless, we'll keep some semblance of this core in place, you've seen people be able to use that as a winning game plan in a day and age where football is spread out. Although I don't think it's all that likely, because like you said, this is one of those things where time may have run its course. Let's get to one more here, Chris, that we haven't talked about near as much, and I don't think is going to be on hot seat potential this offseason. But heading into next year, Matt Rhule, when we look at this situation, because originally I thought strength of this was you had the benefit of time on your side. They gave him one of those longer contracts like we saw Brian Flores get in Miami. You thought this was going to be runway. And then that seemed to get accelerated a little bit this season. You took that swing on Sam Darnold to try and go out and get him. You've got an owner who clearly has an aggressive timeline in David Tepper. You've already fired your offensive coordinator in Joe Brady this season and now completely mismanaged the quarterback situation down the stretch of the season, if there was even a right way to do this. So, Chris, I feel like this one has gotten closer to us having to do this in earnest than we expected at this point.
Yeah, but listen, Gojo, I know you're saying that Matt Rhule is probably going to be safe this offseason, but I got people down there in Charlotte, and the word around town is that Matt Rhule is coaching for his job, and it's not a foregone conclusion that he's going to be the head coach of the Carolina Panthers next season. I'm just saying I would doubt that that would be the case, because if it was, you could have potentially seen Matt Rhule on the move with one of those college jobs. But I will say this, his seat is getting really, really hot down there, and you can understand why, because the season has started out with so much promise, starting off 3-0 and having Sam Darnold look like a guy that could live up to the billing of being the third overall pick a few years ago, it just came off the rails. And I get it, injuries happened. Christian McCaffrey went down in that Texans game, and this team was just never the same. But in terms of them being able to form an overall identity and have something that they can hang their hat on, they haven't necessarily done that with any consistency under Matt Rhule, and I know that they have an impatient owner in David Tepper. So to that, I would say This is one of those situations where it could be touch and go for Matt Rhule, and what happens in Week 18 might actually have some bearing on how the ownership feels about the overall direction of the program.
Yeah, I think that would likely be a mistake, too. I think you're seeing too much turnover there. It would freak me out if I was a Panthers fan. I understand the way that Matt Rhule has come off doesn't make it seem like he's long for this world, but, man, the message you're sending to everyone else is if you can't microwave results in this organization, we're going to get you on the outs in all of this one. That being said, fascinating to consider Matt Rhule's future, also next to the idea that potentially that Michigan job could open up if Jim Harbaugh leaves town. Potentially, we've heard those rumors about Ryan Day and the Chicago Bears if that job opens up, because I can tell you, I'm sure that many people at the college level would line up to see Matt Rhule, who's another one of those program jump starters, hop back into their organization and take over the driver's seat there. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance is proud to support veterans with its annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program. Now celebrating 9 years of donating vehicles, helping veterans in need. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. Coming up next, though, it's Wednesday, and we can tell you there are a couple of players in the NFL already feeling the heat of this upcoming weekend. We'll tell you who those guys are next here. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Seeing news today from Jenna Lane, our ESPN Bucks reporter, and others, that Antonio Brown has still not shown up on the waiver wire, meaning he is still technically a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So we'll talk to Adam Schefter, our ESPN NFL insider, in about 10 minutes, try and get some answers on that one. Because, Chris, the longer and longer that goes, the more prudence we have to kind of give to some of the things we heard. We saw Rick Stroud from the Tampa Bay Times yesterday reporting that Antonio Brown's camp apparently told him to try and go get an outside MRI, a look from a doctor that's not with the team, to check in on pain that he had been experienced. We know that appeared to be, by some reports, the crux of the sideline dispute between him and his head coach, Bruce Arians. So a lot to still untangle with this situation that we thought was cut and dry after BA said he was no longer a Buck.
Yeah, it does give a little more validity with each passing day that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers don't release him after we heard Bruce Arians post-game say that AB was no longer a part of this team. So, yeah, that is something that raises an eyebrow. I've also heard that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are trying to figure out a way where they can potentially suspend Antonio Brown or be able to claw back some of the money that they've paid Antonio Brown. So we'll see what happens with that. But I think there are more layers to this story, and more information is going to be coming out in the next few days, because there seems like there's, again, more to what's going on to Antonio Brown and that outburst that we saw in the third quarter at MetLife Stadium.
Yeah, it doesn't excuse the reaction either. We've talked about this. Like, there is still a way to handle these disagreements, and Antonio Brown, time and time again, has violated the trust in a lot of those instances. But, Chris, now all of a sudden for the NFLPA, I think this is becoming more and more of a situation they're going to have to monitor, because whatever his reaction and whatever he did once this happened, if injury to a player and that being the cause for his dismissal ends up becoming a part of this, that's all of a sudden where the governing body that represents the player's interest is going to have to step in.
Oh, no doubt about it. They'll file a grievance, and the NFL is going to have to do an investigation, and they're going to get to the bottom of it. And if Antonio Brown was dealing with something that's legitimate and he expressed that concern to the training staff and to the coaching staff, then there's going to be a legitimate gripe, and there's going to be some situations where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers might have to walk back some things. And they might have to pay Antonio Brown some money because of how they handled it. So, yeah, this is going to be an interesting situation. It was a spectacle on Sunday, and with each passing day and the Bucks not releasing him, it becomes even more of a spectacle. So something to keep an eye on, and we'll also have to monitor whether or not this becomes a distraction for the organization moving forward. With Tom Brady as the quarterback, I doubt it. But this is something that players in that locker room will continue to be asked about.
Yeah, we've talked about what Tom Brady meant coming over to this organization, right? Set the tempo in last year for a group of players, most of whom had barely been to the playoffs ever, depending on where they'd been in their career, let alone a Super Bowl. Tom's kind of able to shepherd you through a lot of that. But in a year where injuries taken over at key spots, especially at receiver on this team, them recapturing the magic down the stretch here is going to be a different version of this challenge that he's had since he's come over. We'll get to that with Shefty in a minute. I do have to get to the bottom of this, though, because I was a little disappointed in my teammate here, in Chris Canty. As we were talking, we asked everyone on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, at Mike Golic Jr. and at Chris Canty 99, because I was here at ESPN today, and I was going down the list of available menu items at the cafeteria here. They got it listed out on an app for us. We can go and order it. And I saw one of the ingredients of this particular menu item. It was a pesto turkey burger with a brioche bun. And as soon as I see brioche bun, no matter what else is involved in this, I'm always going to look twice and think, oh, maybe I should get that. I like brioche bun. It's a little sweet and all that. So you and I asked people, which ingredients are always going to get you to look twice at a menu item here? You and I came up, you came up with bacon, which I thought was a great one. Works with pretty much everything.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you don't like, how could you not like bacon, right? Bacon wrapped scallops, bacon wrapped shrimp, it pretty much anything wrapped in bacon or accompanied by bacon, I'm going to be on board with.
You were on board with that. I said queso. I said a brioche bun. All those things. We got a lot of great answers on this one. Pork belly. But then I brought up what I thought would be a slam dunk for everybody here, because while I was involved in some mayo controversy recently, there is no controversy around its cousin, aioli. You were aghast when I said that, Chris. I thought aioli had like a universally high Q rating and that everyone just agreed it was kind of mayo's sexy cousin.
No, man. Aioli is glorified mayonnaise, and I'm not a mayonnaise guy, so of course I'm going to kick it to the curb. I don't think it has a proper place amongst the condiments, so I'm not going to be on board with aioli. And for somebody to put that on the Twitter feed that they're going to automatically order whatever dish it is because it has aioli accompanying it, I can't get on board with that. I can't support that. Mayonnaise is disgusting. It's nothing but calories and fat. I just don't understand why people are so infatuated with it. It's something that we don't need. We can completely do away with it because it doesn't add anything to any dish.
Chris, calories and fat are how we built a lot of our lives as 300-pounders. Calories and fat was my nickname in college, for God's sake.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I'm okay with calories and fat if it has flavor. Mayonnaise doesn't have any flavor.
But it's got texture. It's got texture. And it's got flavor.
I don't know that I like the texture.
It's got an eggy, vinegary flavor here.
You don't like the flavor. You cannot like the flavor.
Exactly.
It's definitely got a flavor.
You dislike
it. No, it doesn't have a flavor. It doesn't have a flavor.
And with aioli.
Mayonnaise doesn't have a flavor.
Aioli is like a great partner, too. It's like a doubles partner because you just pair something out with it. Chipotle aioli. Garlic aioli. You can throw whatever you want next to an aioli, and it's going to be right there, volleying back with you here.
And I can get rid of the aioli and throw in some honey barbecue sauce, and I'll be all right with that.
At Chris Canty 99 and at Mike Golic Jr.
Sweet Baby Ray's. Check it out.
Oh, wow. Hey, listen, never going to get a word coming out of my mouth bad about Sweet Baby Ray's. That is not where I am going to be when Jesus Christ comes back here now, slandering the people at Sweet Baby Ray's.
I think I have like 5 bottles of Sweet Baby Ray's in the fridge, and all of them are like, you know, from a little bit gone to completely full.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, with my fiance and I, if I only have 5 bottles of Sweet Baby Ray's in the pantry, we're running low.
Yes. We got to head to the store.
We got a problem.
And we got to get right real quick here.
We're get the milk low. And bread.
We're good on milk, honey. Get the barbecue sauce, for the love of God. At Chris Canty 99 and at Mike Golic Jr. on Twitter, which ingredients will always get you to look twice at a menu item? We will get to more of the important issues like that and what the hell the Bucks are going to do with AB when Adam Schefter joins us after this word from Vivid Seats. Guys, with the Safe Return to Live events, you can actually be there and catch all the action in person with Vivid Seats. That's right, every alley-oop slam, every one-timer, every sideline grab can be experienced live. And with Vivid Seats rewards, you can earn rewards like free tickets. All you got to do, collect stamps, redeem, and repeat. It's that easy. From upper level to courtside, Vivid Seats has you covered for all the events that matter to you. So, grab your tickets today and cheer on your favorite team from the stands. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, light happens live. Back with Adam Schefter next on ESPN Radio.
The College Football National Championship, presented by AT&T. The top-ranked Alabama Crimson Tide look to repeat as national champions when they face Kirby Smart's third-ranked Georgia Bulldogs. Coverage begins Monday at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN. This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We asked you guys on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, at Mike Golic Jr. and at Chris Canny 99. Which food ingredient is going to make you look twice at a menu item anytime you're reading through it here? At Byron 395 tweets in, Chris, and brings up a great point. Anytime the menu has the word smothered in the description, you know you have to know there's some kind of goodness happening in there. And I agree with him. That's the whole basis, really, of like the Waffle House, like smothered, yeah, chunk covered, all those great descriptors absolutely speak to the heart of who we are as big guys.
No doubt about it. I mean, a smothered pork chop will save your life if you've never had one. I'm telling you.
God,
Gojo,
heaven.
That is one of those things that hits the spot.
Yes. Oh, you see the face of God when you take a bite into a smothered pork chop. There is no question in my mind. So keep those coming on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed here. But right now, we got to go out to the Goodyear hotline because, as we talked about here, a lot of news up in the air as we approach uncharted territory in Week 18. Adam Schefter, our ESPN NFL insider and host of the Adam Schefter podcast, joins us now. And Adam, we've seen the news out yet again that Antonio Brown was not on the waiver today and still remains a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What have you heard as the latest on that situation?
It really doesn't matter. He's not going to play for that team anymore. I don't expect that he's going to wind up playing in the NFL again. It's not like there's another team, I believe, that's going to pick him up. And so it's just a matter of procedural issue of the Buccaneers management working through with the NFL about how they want to handle it, because there's always the chance that he could file a grievance, an injury grievance, try to collect money. So I think what they're just trying to do is to solve the issue the best and least litigious way possible, right? I mean, but it doesn't change anything. It's not like he's coming back. It's not like he's playing for that team again. It's not like I think there's a team that's out there waiting to claim him on waivers. He's done, in my mind. And now it's just a question of figuring out the proper way for the Buccaneers to end that relationship.
Shefty, we've been speculating whether the Tennessee Titans would have Derrick Henry available if they made it into the playoffs. We've saw the injury that happened in Week 8, and now the Titans have officially designated him to return from IR. How close is Derrick Henry to being back on the field for the Titans?
Well, here's the great part for the Titans, right? If they beat Houston on Sunday and lock up the number one seed, they get the one bye in the AFC, and that would mean that Derrick Henry would get, 16, 17 more days before he would be asked to play again. And so you're looking at, mid-January before he'd be out there, later in January. And at that point in time, there'd be a chance that he'll be back. So, again, that's why they opened the window today to see if they can activate him. They obviously want him back. They know what a difference maker he is. And if he's back and they're the number one seed and Derrick Henry's playing running back, they might be the favorite in the AFC. That's how important it is.
That's how important it is. Adam Schefter with us on the Goodyear Hotline. That team with a longer timeline because of where they sit in the playoff seeding. The Baltimore Ravens, things a little more dire heading into Week 18. Have we heard any more, Adam, on the status of Lamar Jackson heading into a game where their playoff odds are slim?
Well, he didn't practice today, and the fact that he didn't practice today means that he's only practiced once in the last 23 days, I believe. And it's the start of the practice week, and he always could come back and start practicing tomorrow. But that's not a good sign. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo is limited in practice today. And I think the 49ers are hopeful that he's going to be able to go. And I think there's a chance Garoppolo is going to be out there on Sunday against the Rams. When you see that Lamar isn't practicing, until he's out there, you have to operate under the assumption that he's not going to play. Now, if he comes back and he's limited tomorrow, Friday, then yeah, that'll be the case. But right now, no. As long as there's no practice, then he's not going to play.
Adam, we got the news today that Micah Parsons is on the COVID-19 list for the Dallas Cowboys. He's going to be unavailable to play in their matchup against the Eagles in Week 18. He also put out a tweet saying that he's sorry that he let his teammates down, that he let his fans down. What's going to be the timeline for Micah Parsons in terms of his return to play?
Well, I don't know how he let his fans. I don't know his vaccination status, but I mean, a lot of people have COVID. It's not that he is the only one in our country, but they are on a shorter week, so because of that, I don't think he's going to be able to play Saturday night. But he'll be back, I would think, for the playoff game, and that wouldn't be an issue. So I expect him back for round one, but I don't think he'll be able to play on Saturday night on a short week.
Adam Schefter joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. Adam, spinning things forward, there was news that you reported on earlier today that the NFL franchises could now face the loss of a draft pick or fines for unprofessional conduct as the NFL sort of takes a look at the combine process pre-draft here. Are there any other changes to that process we need to be aware of?
Well, that's the key thing. Look, the league is trying to avoid having some situations where some personnel members over the years have asked offensive questions to draft prospects. Offensive. And so the league is basically saying to teams, button up your act here. Don't be asking dumb, stupid, ridiculous questions. And if you do, there's going to be a price to pay. You can't just do something like that, be all Mr. Tough Guy and everything like that, and not think that there's going to be consequences. You know, everything's taped these days. So the league could always ask to review the interviews, and there now is obviously a punishment discipline in place that if somebody does something like they've done in the past, as we've seen, asking about a player's mother or stupid, silly things like that, then the league can go ahead and fine that team, discipline that team. You know what? At some point, I don't know when it's going to happen. You know, I don't know who's going to be the one that makes the mistake and slips up, but somebody will at some point in time, and it's going to cost them.
Adam, this week there was an article written in The Athletic that floated the possibility that Jim Harbaugh might leave Michigan and go back to the National Football League. I think the Raiders and the Bears were considered potential destinations for Jim Harbaugh. But what have you heard in NFL circles about Jim Harbaugh's potential interest in returning to the National Football League?
Look, I know something could always change. And we're about to enter into a period of time where there are going to be a lot of NFL openings at head coaching jobs, and teams' head coaching searches are going to intensify. But up until now, I have not gotten any real indication or sense that anybody has or that Jim Harbaugh and another NFL team have engaged in any serious dialogue to the point where he would be leaving there. Could that change this week, Nick? Sure, it always could. But up until now, no. I don't think that there is a hot-burning situation right now that I think, boy, he could be leaving today. His just wrapped up Friday night. Some teams haven't even made their head coaching firings. Things certainly could change, and he would be attractive. But as it stands right now, no. There hasn't been anything that's, I think, got serious with an NFL team and Jim Harbaugh at this time.
Get more great information like this when you download the Adam Schefter podcast wherever you get your podcast, our ESPN NFL Insider. Schefty, we appreciate you joining us. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, guys. Happy New Year. Have a great day.
Happy New Year. Again, proud Michigan man, Adam Schefter, joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. So, having to already answer, I'm sure he's used to in the last couple of days, having to answer questions about the coach of his favorite football team in college here. But, listen.
Yeah, he ain't trying to hear no parts of them rumors for Jim Harbaugh going to the NFL.
No. Yeah, not at least at this point here. I'm sure Michigan fans, how the world changes in a year's time where last year Michigan fans were ready to run that dude out of town
right?
When they went 2-4 in that 2020 season. But now the glow up has been real. Coming up next, though, for other people that might be making the jump from the college ranks to the pro ranks, there's going to be one very different part of the offseason process for them this year. We'll tell you what that is next here. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We'll get you ready. The return of Kyrie Irving coming up tonight in the NBA. Andre Snellings, like a doctor and a genius and an NBA analytics wizard, going to join us. I'm curious from his perspective, Chris, as we look at this NBA season right now, and I heard the guys on the Lebatard show talking about this today with Tom Haberstroh. Is this the hardest season for, like, handicappers, people that do odds on these games here, analytics people trying to use in-season data to predict what's going forward? Because right now, you got dudes coming off 10-day contracts from the middle of nowhere affecting the outcomes of these games right now. It feels like the most insanely chaotic NBA season we've had in the last three that have all been affected by COVID.
Yeah, Gojo, but you know this. Vegas finds some way to be able to handicap this thing accurately where they can make all the money in the world. So somebody with some algorithm somewhere has got this thing figured out. But you do have a lot of guys parachuting into this NBA season, and that's because You know, it's a COVID-impacted season, and we didn't expect 2021-2022 to be that, but it feels like that's the direction that things are going, and teams are trying to find the best way to work around it.
To that betting point, I heard this from Tom Haberstroh, who does a great job covering the NBA. He said, this NBA season so far, 10-point underdogs are 18-2 against the spread this season. It has been that kind of chaos ball so far this NBA season.
So maybe Vegas doesn't have it figured out.
I think it'd be hard for anyone to have a clue right now, Chris. So that's why I'm curious for Andre, who does a lot of great work with the numbers and crunching that. How difficult is it to try and formulate real meaningful data on these NBA teams right now?
Well, Andre has enough degrees to be able to figure it out, Gojo. If anybody can get to the bottom of it, he can. Looking at that resume, I just want to know how many years he spent in school to get all those degrees.
But you know what? That's a great point. If he can't figure it out, then I'm allowed to say whatever dumbass thing I want about the NBA this coming season. We can book that one right now. So I'm almost hoping that Dre doesn't have the answers. We'll find out in about 10 minutes here. But answers to tests that you and I are both a little bit more used to, Chris. Usually as we get ready for the upcoming season, the pre-draft process in the NFL, it's marked by certain things, one of which is the Wonderlic test. But now as we talk to Adam Schefter, our ESPN NFL insider, not only are NFL teams potentially going to get fined for being out of pocket asking some of the racist questions that we've seen over the years in team interviews, things that are wildly inappropriate to players, but also they're doing away with the Wonderlic test also as a part of this process. Chris, you a little surprised by that?
Yeah, I am, just because I thought it was an aptitude test in that there was a practical application for it. Like, you want to know if this guy has a high IQ and whether or not he's going to be able to think on his feet when it comes to being able to play high-level football. And so the fact that they're getting rid of it, I wasn't necessarily sure why they were doing it. I guess in recent years they found better measures to replace it. But that was one of the things that I was curious about, why they were getting rid of, because it just didn't seem like there was any, you know, tangible reason as to why they would do away with it. Now, it's just one of those things that I know players used to lament and used to, you know, mull over all the time in the pre-draft process. That was one of the things that you weren't looking forward to preparing for, but it's one of those things that you just had to do. And a lot of guys take a lot of pride in the scores that they have. And I know I can still remember my Wonderlic score to this day. Like, that's one of the things that's like, yeah, I remember what I got on that test. Like, not, you know how guys remember what their 40 time was at the combine? Like, that's one of the other things that guys remember is what they got on the Wonderlic test.
You know what? It's interesting because you mentioned prepare for, and I think that's the part in all this, because this isn't the only part of the pre-draft process they're examining now. It says some of the on-field drills are going to try and better simulate game movement. Wideouts and tight ends are going to run crossing routes instead of wheel routes. Running backs are going to run option routes instead of corner and post-corner routes. Like, they're trying to get more, Chris, into real assessments, because the one thing I can say about the Wonderlic is now when you got guys going to train for the combine, to train for their pro day, what do? They go to all these big box facilities where they spend 3 months not only teaching you how to run the 40, how to run the short shuttle the right way with all the tips and tricks, but you're doing practice Wonderlic tests. You have people coaching you up on this. And so really, Chris, if you're an NFL team trying to measure aptitude, you're not really measuring how someone thinks on the fly. This is more a measure of how someone prepares. And so maybe now they're finding better ways to replicate what actually will be that useful in-game thinking.
Well, yeah, we're seeing NFL teams improve on the science all the time. So that makes sense when it comes to the pre-draft evaluation process, seeing some of the results from some of the testing that you've done previously and what that's yielded versus trying to do different things, trying different measures. So it makes sense. I just wonder what they're going to replace the Wonderlic test with, what they're going to replace some of the other on-field drills with, because, you know, we've known the combine to be one thing for the better part of the last couple of decades, and so them changing a lot of these things has got me curious as to what the combine is actually going to look like.
It's going to be fascinating. It's kind of exciting to see them revisiting the process for a little bit, because your point, the combine has been the same way for such a long period of time here, and them finally looking at this and saying there's a better way to do business. League exec Troy Vincent told the AP, we aim for dignity, respect, and professionalism. It's that simple. So that seems to be at the heart of some of the changes, especially the fines and potential loss of draft pick that we talked about for teams in the interview portion of this. But for the on-field assessment here, for, you know, what's been the underwear Olympics for so long, and a lot of people have opinions on the value of the combine, the NFL appears to be finally looking at this and saying, we're going to make sure we are maximizing the football value for this part of the pre-draft process as we get ready for that coming up in 2022. At Mike Golic Jr. and at ChrisCandy99 on Twitter is where you can get at us. Coming up next, though, Klay Thompson and Kyrie Irving both getting set to re-enter the NBA. Who's going to have the bigger impact? We'll tell you next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.